We're open for business live.
Good morning. It's just after 9 o'clock. It's Friday. It's the 24th of November, 2017. I'm Jamie Veitch. I'm your host for the next hour for Sheffield Live's business and social enterprise programme, Business Live. And we're broadcasting live from the Sheffield Live radio studio in the showroom workstation building in the centre of Sheffield. Are you listening on FM or are you listening through our live stream through apps or the internet? Well, however you're listening, the programme will also be available as a podcast later from the Sheffield Live website. And talking about podcasts, last week on the program we had an accountant with a heart and a soul. Now, according to that, to one listener who emailed us, that's pretty rare in an accountant. And Steve Knowles of Knowles Warwick is that soulful, heart possessing accountant. He was on the program last week to talk about the budget. He gave his wish list for what would be in the budget this week. Did he get it right? And what did you think about the budget? Well, we'll be talking about that later on in the programme today. But if you missed last week's programme, which also featured Dom Hodgson, he runs a business teaching people who are running dog training businesses how to be better at business. He's a dog trainer himself, but he's written two best-selling books. Now, if you missed last week's programme, panic not. The podcast is available on the Sheffield Live website at sheffieldlive.org. Look up radio shows, find Business Live, and it's there. But enough of last week. What's on this week? Well, as I've mentioned, we'll be talking about the budget. That's coming up later on in the programme. Plus, Pete Thornton-Smith is here with us in the studio. He's going to be talking about a really exciting new initiative set out to help many of you listening to this programme today. But before we turn to Pete, let's bring in our first studio guest today. And I'm really delighted to welcome John Young. He's Commercial Director at Stagecoach. He's in the studio now. John, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks very much for coming in today. How are you on this cold day?
I'm fine. The sun's shining, so that's a good start to the day.
It is indeed a great start to the day, a beautiful start to the day so far. And how's the transport situation out there in Sheffield?
All our buses are out there. We're running. Everything's running to time at the moment, so fingers crossed.
Indeed. Great stuff. Well, I've brought you in today to talk about a new initiative that Stagecoach Yorkshire is doing. And you've donated some resources to a school in Sheffield. Can you tell me a bit more about that?
Yeah, we had an approach from the school in Bents Green. It's a school with some special needs children, and they approached us. They wanted to try to help some of their children to gain confidence in life skills, and particularly in using the bus. Right. And of course, that's something that was of interest to us, and it's nice where we're able to do something to try and help in the local community and play our part and put a little bit back. So this is something where we provided some equipment so that the school could undertake some role play. So some of the students got involved in role play, so they could pretend to board the bus, they could drive the bus, they took turns at being the driver, they dressed up as the driver. They could ask for tickets, they could understand about how to pay a fare, and all that type of thing, all the real-life stuff that people do in most cases without really giving it much thought as they get on a bus.
Right, so this is really valuable for the school and for their students. Now, you mentioned you had the approach from Bents Green Specialist Secondary School about that. You must, Stagecoach must get all sorts of approaches all the time from people. It must be quite difficult in terms of being able to commit as the resources that you might wish to absolutely everything that you could get involved with.
You're right, but we're lucky that we've got a really good workforce. We've got people that work for us that they're all local residents, so that obviously they're involved in the community as well. A lot of our staff have got children, and where we do something that sort of hits home and has a value and a meaning to people, then it's actually quite easy to get people to engage. So our staff are very keen to get involved and volunteer and assist with this. And of course, we need to remember that the people that we're working with here are potentially our customers of tomorrow. So we need to think about that as well.
Yes, quite. As you say, they are indeed potentially customers tomorrow. And being able to navigate and to travel around the city and city region by bus is a key skill and vital for independence as well. So by being involved and use the resources that you've supplied to the school, the young adults have been able to role play, as you say, and then increase independence.
That's right. And if we've been able to make a small difference to some of those children's lives and just help them to gain in their confidence, because there are lots of things that all of us as individuals aren't quite sure about. If it's something that we've not done before, we're not quite sure what the procedure is. We've all got those sort of bits of nervousness in us sometimes. And of course, it's probably 10 times worse for a child that's got the peer pressures as well sometimes to think about how they're going to deal with it. So it's about us just trying to assist in that process.
Indeed. Well, it sounds as though this is a vital assistance that you're providing to the school. They made the approach to you. They knew they needed it. They knew this would be of benefit to pupils, to students and so on, and you've delivered. So great news. Now, of course, Stagecoach has a website, has a Twitter account, and you're very active on Twitter in terms of letting people know about the transport situation and so on. But it's not just broadcasting details of buses and how they're running. You do actually also engage with people, answer queries and questions and so on. Is that a good way for people to engage with you, to try and say, well, actually, we're a community initiative or project, would it be appropriate for you to help us out? Yeah. Or is it best for people to email through the website? How should people get in touch?
People contact us in lots of different ways, and the most popular ways vary dependent on the age of people. That's a bit of a sweeping statement, but there are lots of different ways that people can contact us. Twitter and email is extremely popular. It's very easy for people to get in touch with us now. And we encourage customer feedback, and we want to know what people think.
Yes.
We are always very conscious that we are a people business.
Yes.
Our job is to look after people and to take them to where they want to go. And we need to listen to what they tell us. We need to listen to the feedback. So we do want people's views.
Great. Well, you do want people's views. That's fantastic. Well, what we'll do is, I know you've got to go in a moment or two, John. So what we're going to do is we're going to play a track of music. We're going to give out a way for people to get involved and to approach you. Perhaps the website address and the Twitter account. I've got those in front of me. You can give them out if you'd like to. And or I can give them out at the end of the interview. But I'd like to thank you for coming in and taking the time to tell us about this morning.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
And John from Stagecoach, John Young, Stagecoach's commercial director. Best way to get in touch then with Stagecoach, take a look at stagecoachbus.com or go to Twitter and look up Stagecoach Yorks on Twitter, where you'll find Stagecoach. And I know that the business is highly engaging there on Twitter, so you can engage with them there. Or go to the website, Stagecoach Bus, and then through that, send an email, find out more. But John Young, Stagecoach's commercial director, talking about the work with Bents Green Specialist Secondary School. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. You're welcome.
And this is Business Live, Sheffield Live's weekly business and social enterprise programme. We're going to play a track by the Dandy Warhols. This is We Used to Be Friends. This is Business Live, Sheffield Live's weekly business and social enterprise programme with me, Jamie Veitch. We're broadcasting on 93.2 FM and through sheffieldlive.org. This programme is also available as a podcast later on from the Sheffield Live website. Now, it was the budget this week. The Chancellor announced the budget on Wednesday the 22nd. What did you think? You can get in touch. Send us your views. All you need to do is email jamie@sheffieldlive.org. Send a text message to 07904 272 200. Find me, Jamie Veitch, on Twitter. Find Sheffield Live on Twitter as well. Whether you're running a business or a social enterprise, starting a business or a social enterprise, whether you're a sole trader or a freelancer, we're always keen to hear from you. And guests end up on the show sometimes because they've got in touch, put themselves forward to be on the programme, or asked us about something they'd like us to discuss. On the show this morning already, we've been talking about Stagecoach. The company has been working with Bent Green Specialist Secondary School, and John Young has been in the studio to talk about that. If you've only just tuned in, details will be on the podcast later on the programme. But I'm now delighted to welcome our next studio guest, Pete Thornton-Smith, is here in the studio with us. Pete, good morning.
Good morning to you.
How are you today?
I'm grand. How's yourself?
I'm very well, thank you.
Excellent.
A bit cold. Actually, I love the cold mornings like today. Crisp indeed.
Indeed, so, it was. Scraping the ice off the car this morning, wasn't it?
So did you have far to come?
No. I have an office on Moorgate in Rotherham, so this is nice and local. Apart from that stretch of motorway in between Sheffield and Rotherham.
So, yes, it can get a bit congested, can't
yes,
it?
So I set off nice and early.
And beat me to the studio. Indeed.
I wasn't going to say that.
Oh, it's nice and comfortable in our lovely downstairs.
Indeed.
So, Pete, first of all, tell us about what you do and the type of people that you work with in your business personally, first of all.
Okay. I set my business up, 2004. My background as a metallurgist was the steel industry. Remember when we had one of those?
Indeed. Although so, one could say we have an iterated version of that.
Yes,
now.
It's coming back, which is really wonderful. So I spent most of my time at the big integrated steel plants of the area in Sheffield and Rotherham. I got into, as part of my role, quality management, which listeners may remember as 5750 before it became ISO 9001. Yeah. Anyway, things moved on and I set up my own business, as I say, in 2004, and have gradually built it up so that I can go in and I like to think I lighten the load for SMEs. Usually manufacturers, but not necessarily, you know, service industries as well. In the sort of Yorkshire and Humberside, East Midlands, Derbyshire region. Such that they can have all the benefits from a quality management system. And I've expanded over the years to take on board environment, health and safety. And I also do aerospace as well. So there's a nice tranche there of services I can deliver into local companies.
Indeed. So connected services, but quite varied as well. And you say lightening the load for SMEs. Mm-hmm. So taking the pressure off, helping them comply with regulations or helping them to meet quality assurance standards and get systems and processes in place, I presume, as well.
Yes, that's right. I mean, it's a three-stage process. I go in and physically create the system.
Right.
I'll listen to the company, talk to the people who have got the knowledge, and this day and age, you know, you just end up flow charting like there's no tomorrow. So that they're all clear how the business should function. The second phase is then the company has to use the system, create information, because in the third phase, a certification body will come in through the whole business and make sure everything is as it should be. And that's when they'll get recommended for certification. So if a company requires it, I can assist them in that second phase by doing what's called internal audits, because you have to verify. You know, you can't just say, yeah, we do what it says in the book. You've got to evidence that you do it. So yes. I can offer that assistance. I can train auditors. I can run management meetings, because you have to do those as well.
Quite.
So there's a level of support, and I just advise the client and they select what's appropriate to them.
Quite. Now, some people have commented and have said that things like ISO 14001, ISO 9001 have become harder and harder to meet the standards. Now, is that a good thing? Well, first of all, is that accurate? Is that observation true? If it is true, is it a good thing that things are perceived to be becoming harder and harder? And is it simply that standards are rising? So, a couple of questions there.
I think when you look at, for instance, the quality scene, you've got various levels. You've got 9001, which is the base.
Yeah.
But as listeners can appreciate, you then go into aerospace, you then go into medical, you then go into the food chain. And everybody can appreciate that that has just got to be so strict for the obvious reasons. The major thing that's happening now is that they've rewritten the standards, which everybody was really excited about, because companies who have got the ISO standards 9, 14, 18, the health and safety is becoming one next year, but aerospace is there, and 27001, which is controlling the data within an organisation, that's all there. So people have got to transition to this new version. So they've had that to take on board as well, which again is a service that me and colleagues like myself deliver. So I wouldn't totally agree that it's becoming more difficult. There's obviously been a significant change of direction.
Yes.
It's become more strategic, if you will. It's no longer the old tick box exercise that it was many years ago. And if a business will buy into it, it's like any system that a company runs to. If a business will buy into it, then they will get so much benefit out of it. The difficulty, and I'm not speaking out of turn, I don't think, when I say this, is if you've got companies who just get it for the sake of it,
right? Yeah.
Because their customers say you must have it, then they miss out.
Yes.
They really do miss out. They spend all this time, effort and money achieving it, but they don't get anything back on the bottom line.
Quite. So don't see it as a tick box exercise. See it as part of a system of continuous business improvement that helps your business to get better, therefore perform better and work better on behalf of the clients that you do.
So it should definitely be seen as an opportunity. I mean, right. one quick example, I went down, it was into Derbyshire, I think I can say that on here, talked to a client and they were sceptical. They were saying, well, we've run our business this way for years. Why do we need to change? And this, that, and the other. So I just picked up one point and said, all right, what are your reject levels? Mm-hmm. And it was in double figures as a percentage. I said, right, is that expensive? Ooh, tell us about it. It's 8,000. Yes. I said, right, what are you doing about it? And they actually said, well, there's nothing we can do about it. It's just endemic in the business that we're in. And I thought, we've got a challenge here. Because a long story short, I convinced them otherwise. And there was one momentous visit where the MD just said, Pete, I've got it. I see what you mean now. We can influence it. And their reject levels are now 2 or 3%.
Good grief.
With a lot of money put back on the bottom line.
Yes, quite. That must be saving them a considerable amount. Okay, so there's a compelling argument there, purely in terms of the bottom line, for businesses to embrace and engage with this kind of process too. So this is part of what you do.
Indeed.
As your work in terms of lightening the load, if you like. And, of course, you're also engaged with Barnsley and Rotherham Chamber of Commerce. And I've invited you on the programme today because I know that you've been behind a forum which is running for the second time in December. You've already run the forum itself in July, I believe.
That's right, yes.
Now, what is this new forum that you've set up within the Chamber?
Right, the forum is the Sole Traders and Freelancers Forum. And it all came about because, I mean, you like me, running a business on your own, and people that are listening to this show are in that position.
Yes, many
listeners. It's a hard task, you know, because you've nobody else to talk to. You know, you're the sole person in charge by definition. And we met at an exhibition, so you do that circuit. You go networking and you exchange business cards. Or you join a business group that fits your business sector.
Quite.
And that's all nice and pally, and you eat bait and sarnies and you drink cups of coffee. But I always felt you never actually get down to the nitty-gritty of what your business is about, in a sense of how is it performing. You obviously tell people what you do, etc., and the benefits. But there never seemed to be a forum where you could say, and this is so relevant if you're working on your own, have I got enough leads? Am I converting them? Am I getting a decent fee? Am I getting paid and all the rest of it? People always seem to be a bit reluctant to talk about that. Well, I was having none of that because from my background, technical and the rest of it, I was thinking, no, that should be out for debate. All right, you don't want to give away confidential information. We're not talking anything like that. But, you know, as you sit round a table, well, what sort of a month are you having? What sort of a year are you having? What issues have you got? Because all the other sort of meeting groups, you upskill yourself, you find out about the latest software, legislation, whatever. So I thought, right, let's try and do something about this. So I approached the Barnsley and Rotherham Chamber.
Yes.
So I sat down with the events manager, Diane, and the membership manager, Shane, and pitched the idea. I said, you're here as a chamber. You've obviously got a load of people who are sole traders or freelancers. How about giving them a dedicated space on the event programme? And they went for it. So the Sole Traders and Freelancers Forum was actually launched in July, as you said last time.
Yep.
Really good attendance. To give you an idea, we did the usual breakfast thing, an hour and a half, 8:30 till I think it was 10 o'clock. 11 o'clock, everybody's still there.
Right, okay.
Everybody's still talking, asking questions, networking, nobody's left. Unfortunately, the chamber are very supportive, you know, they weren't sort of showing me the door or anything. But all of a sudden, I think it made them realise, as well as myself, we had something here that was worth developing.
So there was a need for this. So what kind, the first event in July, what kind of challenges did people say were common? I mean, people came along, they talked to each other, they shared their problems and their concerns, but they also shared their tips with each other and in terms of how to get the kind of business that they wanted to. Did you notice that, or have you noticed anyway, because as you say, if you're self-employed or run your own sole trader business, you go and talk to a lot of people. Have you noticed that there are challenges that come up again and again for freelancers and for the self-employed and sole trader businesses?
Yeah, I think there's two that I'd put at the top of the list, which came out of certainly the first session and talking to delegates since. There's a lot of people, I'm sure, who run a business on their own and they get really excited about it, which is wonderful, because if they can't get excited, nobody will. But it takes over. They do all the activity at the sharp end, the stuff they love to do, particularly if they're creative people, that's what they want to do. And they forget the back office, as we call it, you know. What's your turnover going to be? No idea. I'm too busy working. I'm too busy selling this, that and the other. And how do you get your leads? You know, how do you market the business? And that's when you get into, well, we dabble with social media. And everybody says we don't do it properly, but we do a bit.
So they know that. But...
yeah, that's the sort of frustrating in a sense, but then it's an opportunity to sit them all down and say, look, come on, get yourself organised. We don't want to curtail the activity at the front end, because that's what your business is about, but somehow sort out, even if you delegate it, get somebody else to do it for you, but you can't run a business. And, of course, the obvious thing to mention on finances is cash flow.
Quite, indeed.
You know, have you got a cash flow? No, I just keep going.
And just with an interesting aside, having as you've mentioned that, the cloud-based accountancy provider Free Agent, they did some, which a lot of sole traders, a lot of small business owners will use, and a lot of listeners will use. They did some research of their users all over the UK, and they found that South Yorkshire is the place where people struggle the most in terms of being paid on time by their clients.
Yeah.
So small traders here suffer the most in terms of late payments. And since you mentioned cash flow, it is an issue. It is an issue that a lot of people have to deal with and focus on and try to solve. And you've just said, Pete, there as well, quite often people running small businesses, sole trader businesses, they will know that they could be better at doing many of these things, but they're focused on the day-to-day delivery rather than the strategic side of their business.
Yeah, definitely.
Right. So that presumably is where this helps. Now, you're running the forum again in December. You've done a little bit of promotion, and I gather it's already sold out or fully booked.
Well, I've just got an email from the Chamber sort of saying there's no spaces left. So we're at the point really of sort of creating a waiting list, which we'll talk about later on, I'm sure. But that's got to be good because, you know, and it's 3 weeks away. Bear that in mind. Again, it proves there's a demand for this sort of get-together. Coming back to the point you made before, the other thing that I saw it only this week when I was at a networking event, is people, particularly if they're on their own, because they've nobody else to bounce an idea off, plan forever and a day. Yes, I'll do this, but they never actually do it. I'm waiting for the right customer. Well, you can be waiting a long time. You know, it's this classic thing, you know, all good ideas start with a thought, but you get results through action. So again, part of the objective of this forum is just to inspire people to take that leap of faith, you know, from a firm foundation, don't take big risks, but actually do something and learn, if necessary, from something that doesn't quite work. You know, it's like Mr. Branson said, fail fast.
Right. So is this in some ways an accountability forum as well? People will say they're going to do something and then they'll come back again. People who came in July, are they coming back in December? Are they going to have to say, yes, I have actually done this? This thing that I said I would do, I have actually not talked about it. I have done it.
You must have mind-reading qualities. Certainly one of the things that's going to be in the workshop element is this whole thing of accountability.
Right.
And there's a very strong possibility that the group could be that vehicle, such that delegates will be asked to commit to do something and then respond to the group as to what's happened. Because that's what's... It is difficult, but that's what's missing.
I see. Great. Yeah. So the next group on the 14th of December, as you say, fully booked. But you will be running the group again after this, and there'll be a waiting list for the group on the 14th of December if people can't make
it. Yes, if anybody's interested, the best thing to do is just email me at pete@peterts.com. So that's pete@peterts.com. Or give us a ring or a text on 07732 300 686. That's 07732 300 686. And if we can fit you in, we will. But you've got to make contact, obviously, so we know who to get back to. And yes, there are two other dates already in the diary for 2018.
Right, grand. Okay, so what we'll do is we'll repeat those contact details later on in the programme today. We're going to take a quick break for a little bit of music, and I think, what are we going to have now? We're going to have The Pretenders. This is Message of Love. This is Business Live, Sheffield Live's weekly business and social enterprise programme with me, Jamie Veitch. We're broadcasting on 93.2 FM, but also online. And however you're listening, this show is also available as a podcast later from the Sheffield Live website. Now, it was the budget this week. What did you think of the budget? Do you have a view on it? And what are the key points? It was Philip Hammond's first autumn budget as Chancellor. He announced the government's planned spending over the next 12 months and policy changes. So what are the key points? Well, last week, Steve Knowles of Knowles Warwick came into the studio and he gave his wish list and his predictions. One thing that he talked about was whether the VAT threshold for small businesses might be lowered. It's currently £85,000. And could it be changed to as low as, say, £40,000 or £30,000 or even £20,000? Steve talked about the pros and cons of that. And Philip Hammond, the Chancellor, has announced that the threshold will remain at £85,000 for 2 years, but that there will be a consultation into changing it. He also announced £540 million to support the growth of electric cars. There'll be more charging points and more infrastructure for that. There'll be further investment in research and development. £2.3 billion is allocated to that. And £500 million of support for 5G mobile networks, full fibre broadband and artificial intelligence too. There's going to be a development in tech, city, UK. There will be about £21 million for infrastructure through cities in the north, including Leeds and Sheffield. But a lot of investment is going to cities with mayors and with devolved mayors. And a lot of people have said Sheffield's missing out in respect of that. What else? Stamp duty. Well, Steve got this one right. He talked about stamp duty potentially being abolished. And it is being abolished on properties worth up to £300,000 for first-time buyers. Now, there's been quite a lot of media commentary about that from people who are saying, well, yes, it will make a difference. No, it won't make a difference. Prices will go up anyway. It will help sellers, not buyers. Again, what do you think of that? You can get in touch. You can let me know your thoughts. There's also £44 billion described as new support for housing to meet the target of building 300,000 new homes a year by the middle of the next decade. Again, some disagreement on whether that's truly new money or whether it's a rehash of a previous announcement. But again, let me know your views. Now, what about alcohol? Booze duty on beer, wine, spirits and most ciders has been frozen, equating to 12 pence off per pint and £1.15 off a bottle of whiskey by next April, according to some analysis. Tobacco will continue to rise by 2% above inflation. That's equivalent to 28 pence on a pack of 20 cigarettes. If you have a diesel company car, then the existing diesel supplement on your company car tax will rise by 1%. And the vehicle excise duty for new diesel cars that don't meet the latest standards is going to rise by one band in April 2018. But the fuel duty rise for petrol and diesel cars that was scheduled for April 2018 has been scrapped. Personal taxation and wages. Well, the tax-free personal allowance on income tax, which is currently £11,500, is rising to £11,850 in April 2018. And the higher rate tax threshold will increase to £46,350. The national living wage is set to rise in April 2018 by 4.4%. It's going from £7.50 an hour to £7.83. per hour. What else? The growth forecast for the economy for 2017 has been downgraded. It was 2%. It's now 1.5%. And GDP has been downgraded to 1.4%, 1.3%, and 1.5% in subsequent years before rising to 1.6% in 2021 to 2022. Now, regular listeners might remember that the Marxist capitalist Simon Biltcliffe, he runs a 31 million turnover business called Webmart. He was on the show a few weeks ago. He reckoned that GDP is meaningless. And he gave a 20-minute interview talking about what he thinks is worth measuring. He's very, very focused on measuring profit, but he's also very focused on measuring intellectual and emotional performance and maximising those two. So that's an aside. Back to the budget. Productivity growth has been revised down. Investment has been revised down. £3 billion is being set aside over the next 2 years to prepare the UK for what the Chancellor described as every possible outcome as the UK leaves the EU. Annual borrowing is set to be £49.9 billion this year, and public sector net borrowing is forecast to fall from 3.8% of GDP last year, 2.4% this year, and debt will peak at 86% of GDP this year. What else? Extra funding for the NHS. The Chancellor said £2.8 billion in extra funding for the NHS with £350 million. £350 million, that's a sort of recognisable figure, isn't it, for people who saw buses driving around a year and a half ago, immediately available to address pressures this winter. And what do you think of that? Is it enough? Is it not enough? Chancellor also announced a teacher training fund for underperforming schools and support in particular for maths teaching and a capital investment fund for hospitals. What else? City region transport fund to be shared between six regions. £30 million to improve mobile and digital connectivity on the Transpennine rail route. and a young person's rail card extended to 26 to 30-year-olds, and all those millennials who've been deserting the Tories and voting Labour will probably be absolutely thrilled, according to many commentators, about that. Now, what do you think? I'd be really keen to hear your views on the Chancellor. If you're running on the Chancellor's announcements in the budget, will it help your business? Will it help you create jobs? Will it help you if you're running a social enterprise? Will it help you personally? What do you think? I'm interested in a diverse mixture of views. Put your comments to me in an email. Send them to jamie@sheffieldlive.org. Send a text to 07904 272 200. Find me, Jamie Veitch, on Twitter. Find Sheffield Live on Twitter as well. We're really interested in hearing from you, hearing your comments on the budget, on the pressures, or the opportunities for your business, your social enterprise. Back now to our studio guest. Pete Thornton-Smith is in the studio with us, and he's been talking about freelancers and sole traders and a forum coming up on the 14th of December. Pete,
yes,
back to you.
Yes.
So your forum's oversubscribed, but people who have booked and paid their £10 for a ticket, inevitably you might get the odd person who's booked who will drop out. So you're setting up a waiting list for the forum. So tell us about what is going to happen on the day.
Right. The format, we're quite excited about this, and it worked clearly in July, hence the response in December. We ask a couple of chamber members, not just one, but two chamber members, to come along and share their story. Take the delegates on the journey that they have gone from starting off a business on their own to growing it, to employing people, if that's relevant, so that they can talk about, you know, the mistakes that they made, what they wish they had done, what advice they would have liked, all that. And clearly the key one there is if you take people on, because then you have the joys of the HR scene, the payroll and all that. And to me, there's no better way to get inspired than to listen to somebody that's done it. So there's a couple of guests who will be named nearer the time. So that's the crux of the session. In between all that, I run a very hands-on workshop session. I come back to this point of people not just sitting there being talked at.
Yep.
They actually do things. And we will be bringing in this accountability aspect as well.
Yes.
So it gets them thinking for a couple of hours, because it's from 9 till 11 now, as to what they should be doing. And hopefully then they go out of the room far better inspired than when they came in. And so they're committed to actually do something and be aware of things that perhaps they're just not paying attention to.
So they're investing their time into this by going along. Mm-hmm. And there's a modest fee to attend as well. I think it was £10 when I looked on.
And that's just for non-members. I should make the point, it's open to members and non-members. Right. Members get it for free.
I see. Grand. And so the biggest thing they're investing is the time. But to make that investment of their time meaningful, mm-hmm. you have this process of accountability with you in the workshop as well, which, as you say, can be quite missing from some events that people will go along to. And it's very easy to accumulate knowledge of what you should be doing and need to do. And it's very easy for many business owners and for many sole traders and freelancers to know exactly what they need to do, but simply not actually prioritise doing it, and to get stuck with a sort of analysis paralysis, if you like.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah, the endless to-do list.
Quite.
I mean, and let's be right. I mean, we've all done it. You know, you pay out significant amounts of money to go on a training course. It could be 2 days, 3 days. And then you never take any action. And you think, what was that course about? Why did I go on it?
Quite.
So, yes, you're quite right. One of the main things we want to get out of the forum is that people actually go away and do something.
Yes.
So as I say, the plan is to make the group the vehicle for delegates to be accountable to. Because again, when you're on your own, you haven't even got anybody to bounce ideas off. So that's another bonus, really. If somebody's thinking of doing something, they've got a sounding board.
Quite, yes. And how big then is the group going to settle at in terms of numbers?
We're in the region of just shy of 20. Mm. Because obviously, the Chamber are kindly providing their conference room. But I don't really want it to be that sort of setup where everybody sits in rows, you know, like a lecture theatre. So we group people together to aid the interaction, and we get the table to do something, each of the tables to do something. So, so they're all pitching in together rather than just, heaven forbid, the PowerPoint presentation for 2 hours.
Heaven forbid, indeed, quite, yes. So a different type of format. Yeah, getting involved and engaged.
Very much. I have to be careful what I say in view of what you said in reception, but get your sleeves rolled up and do something.
Yes.
Don't just think about it or talk about it.
Yeah, sure. Grand. Okay. And what about then you, Pete? You talked about your career history and your previous world of working in the metals industry and now working for businesses lightening the load. And you also, on your business card, talk about clearing the fog of social media. So you as someone working on your own account, meeting people, finding clients, what's worked for you? What has helped you meet people, pick up clients? What advice would you have to people in terms of cutting through the myriad options that are available?
Yeah. We're actually including this in the workshop session, so that's an excellent point to raise. People have got to know what their network is in terms of where they get work from, because it's not like you work for somebody else and you just get work put on your desk. You've got to go out and find it. Mm-hmm. And if you don't make that effort, you're not going to have much of a business. So we do an exercise where we list all the options where you could possibly get work from, and then we end up scoring it, because people get distracted. And the classic thing is, as I said at the start of the show, we met at an exhibition, and people might think, oh, I love doing exhibitions, I like my stand and all the rest of it. So they do it, they shell out several hundred pounds, but at the end of the day, nothing's coming from it. But they like doing it, so they do another one.
Right.
So we try and cut through all that and say, right, in the hard light of day, having gone through the exercise that I give them, actually, it's, funnily enough, it's your current clients that are creating most of your work. Or it's organisations like the Chamber or whatever's relevant to your business sector. So they're the ones you should focus on. And it might be social media. Social media is wonderful for people who work on their own, because they can get the name out there, promote themselves and do all sorts of wonderful stuff if they know how to, which again we'll touch on in the forum, with low risk, yeah? Because you can target sort of the like of LinkedIn and Facebook ads and all the rest of it, rather than spending a fortune, dare I say it, on the old style advert.
So it can be low risk, but you said something that's vital there. You can target. So, I mean, a lot of people will put huge amounts of time into social media thinking it's free, and they end up, and they do it because they perhaps enjoy it, but they're putting a whole load of time, which isn't actually free. Mm. You've just mentioned people can target through advertising on social media so that their ads only appear in front of relevant people. Is that something you recommend?
Oh, most definitely, because otherwise you're just wasting your money, you're wasting your time. It's like anything else in business. You've got to make some hard decisions, and you've got to really set your stall out to say, what am I trying to achieve? And then work backwards.
Yes.
Not, hey, let's advertise on Facebook because it's cool. There's got to be a reason for doing it. And sort of to come back to your original point, I find social media work for me. Although I invested in meeting the right people to get myself sorted as to how to do it, I'm heavily into what we'd call video marketing. Mm-hmm. At the office on Moorgate in Rotherham, there's a little studio at the side of my office. So people who know me who are listening will say, yeah, we remember those videos. Because it's just all about making that connection. And social media, particularly with video, is awesome for doing that.
Right, so video on social media can get your face in front of people,
exactly.
If you like, so people feel
exactly.
They get to know you, is that?
Well, I've had total strangers asked to see me, make an appointment at the office. They've watched videos on YouTube, etc., etc., and they walk through the door, and without a word of a lie, because I put this in the talk, they say, you know, I feel as though I know you already.
And many people on the programme have made the point that building up relationships with potential customers, but also with your existing customers who will often refer business to you, is about getting people to know you, to like you and to trust you. So that what you've just said supports that in a big way.
Without question, because if they can see a person, that's what matters. Can I work with this person? You know, do I feel as though I could trust him? Does he know what he's talking about?
Quite.
That all is available if you get into the social media and the videos in particular.
Grand. Well, it's been fascinating to talk with you. Clearly, it's going to be a valuable exercise for anyone who has managed to book to attend the forum
Indeed.
On the 14th.
Indeed.
But there will be a waiting list in case people who've said they want to come, in case there are any dropouts, you'll be maintaining a waiting list. So, Pete, what you can do, please, is give the details of the forum again. I will tweet the link to the Eventbrite page so that people know about it. It is full at the moment, but you're maintaining a waiting list. So how can people get in touch with you?
Right. The simple way is to contact me direct. Email pete@peterts.com. That's pete@peterts.com. Or drop me a text or give me a ring on 07732 300 686. That's 07732 300 686.
Grand. Thank you for that. Now, you're also active on Twitter as well, so people who use Twitter can find you, engage with you, follow you. Do you want to give out the Twitter address as well there?
Yeah, my Twitter address is @Peter_TS. And in view of what we'll be doing over the next 3 weeks, if you look for the hashtag STFF for Sole Traders and Freelancers Forum, that'll be a good way to filter it out.
Grand. That's super. Well, that's great. Thanks so much for coming in today, Pete. Pete Thornton-Smith in the studio with me. Thank you.
Thanks ever so much for asking me in.
This is Business Live, Sheffield Live's weekly business and social enterprise programme with me, Jamie Veitch. We've been talking with Pete Thornton-Smith today in the studio, and he's talked about the new Sole Traders and Freelancers Forum that he's set up with Barnsley and Rotherham Chamber of Commerce. Successful meeting in July, and in December there'll be the second forum meeting coming up. Now, before Pete was on the programme today, we had John Young, Stagecoach's Commercial Director, on the programme talking about Stagecoach's work, donating resources to Bents Green Specialist Secondary School to help pupils who've been diagnosed with special educational needs to develop their life skills, including communication and travel. If you've only just tuned in and you've missed our guest today, don't panic, because the podcast of today's programme will be up on the Sheffield Live website from about 11 a.m. Go to sheffieldlive.org, look at radio shows, and you'll be able to find Business Live. The podcast will be there. That's all for this week, but we'll be back on air next Friday from 9 through to 10. Next Friday, so do tune in then, but don't go away now, because next up on Sheffield Live is our fantastic folk music programme, broadcasting from 10 all the way through to noon. So stay tuned for that. On our show next week, Gillian Kowalchuk. She is the founder and chief executive of Safe and the City Limited. She'll be on the programme with us, with more exciting guests too next week. So tune in then. Don't go away now. Many thanks to my guests, Pete and John, today. Thank you for listening. And thanks also to Sangeeta in the studio as our sound engineer today. And we're going to play out with a track of music chosen by Pete Thornton-Smith. And this track is Leveret. The band is Leveret. The track is Gallons of Cognac.
We're open for Business Live.